Just a little preliminary note about this passage from Mark. It would seem that this would say, well, Jesus is clearly God because he's running around forgiving sins, but that's not at all the case. Jesus clearly believed that the kingdom of God was at hand. That's what we get, you know, the end times. And he believed that he was deputed by God. He came to see himself as the great announcer of the end time, following John the Baptist, who said exactly the same stuff, huh? So as Jesus, as God's emissary, then he could do what God wanted done in the end times, which is the forgiveness of sins, which means what? The reconciliation of the world. So you have to be really careful with this text and not say, well, oh, good, Jesus is God, now we got everything nailed down. No, we don't. Nothing like that. But it's this business of the end times, which is sort of subtly underlying these three texts. In most religions in the world, and including Roman Catholicism, the past has a status that is dominative, hegemonic, if you will. We're in the seminary. When we talked about the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, the official Latin name for those guys, the novatores, the innovators. They were doing something that had not been done before. And of course, the rubric for all of our stuff was nil innovator nisi quod tradidum sit. Don't do anything new that you haven't had done already. So you get this. In the church, you get in all the religions of the great myth of the golden age and how ever since things have been going to hell in a handbasket, ever since some initial decline. And unfortunately, Catholicism, like most Christian things, has fallen into that trap, thinking that the past is normative, that there was a kind of plenitude of truth and goodness and reality in the past. And that's precisely the opposite of what the whole biblical message is. The God of the Jews was unique in the ancient world because this was a God who opened up the future. In fact, the great Martin Buber, who translated the Bible from Hebrew into German, translated the name of God, Yahweh, in this fashion. He said, I will be who I will be. Or I will be there when I will be there. So if the God, this weird Jew God has a name, it's always future tense. It's always future tense. It's always something more coming that's not here. That the past is always, by definition, deficient. Incomplete. And so you get this in Isaiah, behold, I am doing something new. You get it in the book of Revelation, behold, I make all things new. So God of the God of Jesus, the God of the Jews, is a God who's kicking us, who's pulling us, kicking and screaming, resisting with all our might into some new unknown thing. I will take you, as God said to Abraham, from this place to a place you do not know. The notion of pilgrimage, which in some sectors of the tradition is determinative for our self-understanding, has been lost, largely, at our peril. Because we basically missed the whole point of this thing. So, I'd just like to finish up with giving a couple of instances of what is novel, what is new. Well, you get it in that Isaiah passage and in this Mark passage. Forgiveness. The very nature of forgiveness is to open up a future. the very nature of forgiveness is to open up a future. The very nature of forgiveness is to relativize the past. To say it is not determinative of who we are together, of what this relationship is, of who I am. And that's exactly what Jesus was all about. Constantly prying open by main force, often enough, the closeness, our premature certainties, our ossified hearts and consciences and self-understanding. There is more coming. There is more coming. You are to be more. Just as a footnote, this is terribly important for the church. There's another article today from Commonweal by a guy who was kind of correcting, I really think, and he says himself, is correcting Margaret Steinfeld's piece. And his objection, David O'Brien's objection, is that she has, she's too quickly stuck in the past. She's not ready enough to open up stuff because, my God, if the church is not to suffocate in its own squalor right now, something has to change. And just a final note about that little O'Brien piece, he says it's not going to change from the top, folks. I've been haunted all week after I read that thing by the great Huey Newton's statement, if anybody remembers, the Black Panthers. Power is only given up at the point of a gun. Now, can we give that some kind of Christian twist? I think it's possible. It's necessary. Okay, now the last thing, this is suggested, this strange thing from 2 Corinthians. Jesus is a big yes to God. What the context for this is that, and this too is revealing, Paul was being opposed by a whole bunch of other Christian missionaries in Corinth, who's calling him a fraud, a weakling, a hypocrite, vacillating. Because he said at one time, well, I'm going to visit you guys, and he doesn't show up. And so read the context of the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. And so Paul does what he always does. He said, I am an imitator of Christ. And with Christ, it was never yes and no. It was always yes. And I'd like to, and I don't think it is totally fatuous to suggest that kind of positivity, to say yes to whatever comes into my life, even if it's painful, it's an opening up to the future. And we get this wonderful image of Jesus as the great yes to God. Yes, 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 yes. See, when I've been haunted by this all summer, because I don't say either yes or no, I say maybe. Maybe. Something comes in my life. Maybe. It's neither yes nor no. It's maybe or whatever. In other words, I think that's where most of us stand. Life does not change. We are routinized. We are habituated to the status quo. Whatever. Maybe. So Jesus is saying yes all the time. I'm saying, well, maybe. So I found that very useful to me. And that's why I propose it to you. That to try to examine one's life and say, where is God trying to pull me in my life? where is God trying to pull me in my life? Where is God trying to pull the church too, of course? But where is God trying to pull me? Maybe. Maybe he's such a wonderfully comfortable where, you know, you just got mush around in the middle. Maybe. I love maybe. I live in maybe. I am maybe. Jesus is yes. Jesus is yes. Jesus opens that future, forges that future, the great figure from the letters of Hebrews. Jesus is the pioneer of our faith. Jesus, who believed in the mercy of God, the all-embracing arms of God, and lived that way. So, that's what I want to suggest. We are not supposed to be maybe. Even if we are, we're not supposed to be maybe. That's where the change, at least for me, is supposed to come. That may be helpful for you too, I hope.